remain standing, and I mean that in all sincerity. We'll read a whole chapter of Ruth, chapter 2, in a moment. And so there's no foul or no shame if you're not able to stand. But if you are, remain standing. And if you'd like to use a Bible from the church, there should be one in front of you. You could grab that and just flip right over to page 222. Otherwise, we'll start at verse 1 of the second chapter of the book of Ruth. These are God's words for us this morning. And here's what God says. Now, Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go into the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." And so she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. And he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came, and she has continued from early morning unto now, except for a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. And when she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also pull out some of the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the man's name with whom I have worked today is Boaz. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed by the Lord whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. Naomi also said to her, the man is a close relative to me. He is one of our redeemers. And Ruth the Moabite said, and beside, he said to me, you shall keep close to by my young men until they have finished all my harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted. So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvest. And she lived with her mother-in-law. You may be seated. Father, thank you for your word. There's no word like your word. Father, everything we've just read in this word of yours tells the true story of Naomi and Ruth and Boaz. And yet, Father, by the beauty and the multifaceted transformational effects of your word, this word also speaks to us and describes to us so much of our own lives. So, Father, give us eyes to see wonderful things from your word. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we begin the second chapter now of the book of Ruth, we are introduced to a new character. Chapter 2 is about Boaz, in a sense. He emerges as the main character of chapter 2. Whereas chapter 1, you could argue that Naomi was the main character. And yet in chapter 1, while Naomi was the main character, Ruth steals our hearts. And I think you'll see the same kind of thing played out. Boaz is the main character in chapter 2. And yet, once again, our hearts are drawn to what we see going on in Ruth's life. As we make our way through chapter 2, I want to try to do this quickly. We're running a little bit shorter on time than normal. And so I want to surmise a couple of things and move us through a couple of things. But I want us to look at chapter 2 through the perspective of the two main characters in this chapter, Boaz and Ruth. And so as an outline, I want us to see how Boaz illustrates that God is faithful to show kindness. Well, I'm going to show you why I got that in just a moment. But the second point that I want to come back and kind of run back through chapter 2 again is to show how Ruth illustrates that those who see God's kindness are faithful. So Boaz shows us something about the faithfulness of God's kindness, and Ruth shows us something about when we see God's kindness, we are faithful. Let's look at those one at a time. As our chapter opens, and since verse 1 in our chapter is really not the story itself, it's the narrator introducing us to Boaz. It's almost as if he's drawing attention to say, now listen up, chapter 2 is going to be really important about a guy named Boaz, so let me tell you a couple of things about Boaz before we run into him in the story. Now, in other words, we're now learning something about Boaz before Naomi and Ruth fully understand these things about Boaz. And what we see about Boaz is just beautiful, and it's incredible. It says there, now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man, a noble man, who was of the clan of Elimelech. So he was a part of Elimelech's family or extended family, and we're told his name is Boaz. That's technically the first time we run into this guy in the book of Ruth. And some of the things that we'll see as this chapter unfolds about about Boaz is that he is an incredible man. In fact, the apex of the chapter, I think, is verse 20 of Ruth chapter 2. So let your eyes kind of wander over, skip all the way over to verse 20 for a second. This is right after Ruth has come in to her mother-in-law's residence, and she's explaining to her mother-in-law the day, and it's just interesting. At the very end of the story, she says, oh yeah, and the guy's name happened to be Boaz. Well, verse 20 is a bit of Naomi's eruption of praise and gratitude over hearing that. Of all the likely scenarios of where Ruth has landed on this day, she's landed at Boaz's place. And Naomi, verse 20, said to her daughter-in-law, may he, speaking of Boaz, may he be blessed by the Lord. And then what it says next, whose kindness, and I think here's something like the Lord's kindness, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. So may the Lord bless Boaz, and because the Lord has shown great kindness to me and to my family and to us. Now, that is a very stark contrast of a confession from what we've just seen in the last chapter of Naomi / don't call me Naomi, my name is Mara Bitter. So as we were introduced to Boaz by the narrator in verse 1, the climax of this chapter, the apex of this chapter, surrounds this character named Boaz. We should be surprised and taken back by, wow, what's gotten into Naomi? Well, her confession is very clear. She had been struggling with the Lord's providences in her life, and yet what we see is that the Lord's kindness to his people is patient. Naomi's heart, because of the events, the tragic, the horrible, the unthinkable events in chapter 1, Naomi's heart was a bit foul. And yet God, in his consistent, patient, tender kindness, has shown itself to be real and present in Naomi's life. Naomi now sees more clearly that her life is rooted and grounded in the kindness of the Lord. Now it's coming to her through the agency of Boaz, and there's a sense in which as we even see in this chapter the things that Boaz is doing for Ruth and for Naomi are just incredible. They are exemplary. There's a sense in which we could just, on one level, just say, hey, do you want to be a true man? We have a portrait here of what a true man looks like. In a day and age, in the time of the kings, when everyone did what was right in their own eyes, and how that worked itself out in real life, when you read the book of Judges, is it didn't fare well for women. Women were abused and misused and not provided for and not taken care of. And do you even see the hints of that in this chapter where Naomi says, now, don't go into another field, because if you go into another field, the guys will harm you. But here we see that in contradistinction to what most of the men are doing in the book of Judges, they're not men, they're animalistic boys, but what the men are doing in the book of Judges is the total contrast of what a true man should be. Here we have a portrait of Boaz who's showing to us this is what a man is. This is what a man does. A man is portrayed as someone who protects and provides. And if you don't know how to protect or provide, you don't know how to be a man. You're just still a boy. And yet, on the other hand, Oh, this book of Ruth and our Bibles are about so much more than be a man like Boaz. For Boaz is just an illustration of a greater man. Boaz is an illustration of the most important descendant of Boaz himself, the ultimate and the final true man who, as Boaz will be to Ruth and Naomi, a redeemer, how Boaz's ultimate and final and most important descendant, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to be the true man who provides for his people, who protects his people, who provides, in fact, the very fundamental redemption that his people need in order to live in right relationship with God. And if we had time, we could press the case even further and say, look at the particulars of how this man, who is pointing to the true man, Jesus, but how this man, he comes into town, and there's no mistake here, this is divine appointment. Literally, our text says, and lo and behold, she happens to stumble into the field of Boaz. Lo and behold, Boaz happens to come from town into his fields. There's no lo and behold just by random freakish accident here. This is the kindness of God's providence, who has directed Ruth's steps into the field of Boaz, and who has directed Boaz's steps to go out to his field at just the right time. And the way that Boaz is going to show kindness. Now remember, kindness is an optimal word in the book of Ruth. Kindness is one of the chief traits that God has toward his people. Kindness, meaning a loving, faithful loyalty, a tenacious dog-mindedness, won't let up kind of devotion, a loyalty and a devotion that doesn't merely do what's required to do, but does over and above what's required to do. And I'll just give one illustration of that. When Boaz finds out, who's that in my field? Well, that's Ruth, the Moabite. And I don't know if you've noticed it, but you can count it up. The text wants to make really sure that you don't forget that Ruth is the Moabite. Now, she don't belong here. She's not one of us. She's a foreigner. She's a stranger. And yet, what you're seeing is God's kindness is not just to the people of Israel, but God's kindness is to all peoples everywhere. Just as God promised the father of Israel, Abraham, that through you all nations will be blessed. And we see this being played out in a small way in a field of a man belonging to a man named Boaz. God's kindness is transnational. It's not us and them. Who is this? Oh, this is the Moabite girl who came back with Naomi. Now, see, according to the Mosaic Code, the poor, the sojourner, the disadvantaged, the marginalized, they could go to the edges of a person's field if they didn't have a field, if they didn't sow anything in a field. They nevertheless, God made kind provision for them. They could go into a field to the edges and they could glean that which is left there by the landowners and by the harvesters, left there, and they could glean. But that's what's required according to the Mosaic Code. But that's not what kindness does. Kindness doesn't go, well, I'll just give you what you got coming to you. Don't ask for nothing more. Kindness says, but wait. This is what's required of me to let the poor or the disadvantaged have the edges of the field. But kindness says, but come and eat supper with us. Come and have food and drink and water, and come until your belly's about to pop, and you got to take a homosack with you. Come and then when he even says, after she goes back after dinner to in the field, he actually instructs his men. He says, look at about verse 15. Boaz instructed his young men, saying, let her glean from among the sheaves. In other words, let her take some of the stuff that we've already harvested.
The law doesn't say that.
Kindness goes above and beyond what's required. And pull out some of the bundles for her. In other words, let's care for her by making it easy for her. And leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her.
The law could have allowed for her to be rebuked by that. That could have been qualified as theft, even.
Taking what doesn't belong to her. Do you see the kindness? The kindness that Boaz is showing to this. What kind of woman is she? She's a Moabite woman. And that we can't lose sight of that, because if we were reading this as Israelites, we'd be like, wow, I didn't see this one coming. That God, now we get that God shows kindness to us. I mean, after all, we're special, but or at least we think we are. But to show kindness to this Moabite woman, the kindness of this woman that it's said of her and her type, that down to the 10th generation, they shall not gather with the assembly of the Lord. Oh, the amazing, deep depth of God's kindness, the gracious nature of God's kindness. And this is where perhaps you and I need to see where we are at in this story. I mean, on the one hand, we're to be like Boaz, but on the other hand, we ain't exactly Boaz in this story. According to Ephesians chapter 2, we're more like Ruth in this story. In terms of as we come to Christ, as we're the recipients of God's covenant blessings, as we are the beneficiaries of all that God has for us in Christ, we come not as native members of God's covenant promises. We come as foreigners. In chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 12, it as much says, remember that once you were separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and having no God in this world. No, if we are in Christ, we are aliens and strangers who through faith have been grafted in to all of the covenant promises and blessings of God. And we too then are the recipients. We are like Moabites who have been grafted in, who are no longer banned from the 10th generation from gathering together with God's people, but we are brought into God's family. We are no longer, Ephesians 2:19 says, no longer aliens or strangers, but fellow citizens, members together of God's household. We too are the recipients of God's kindness, a loving loyalty, a tenacious devotion in which God does for us over and above and beyond what's required of Him to do for us. But I got to move on, for we do want to spend a little bit more time looking more closely at what's going on in this chapter with Ruth. Ruth, whereas Boaz illustrates for us that God is faithful to show kindness, even to Moabite women. Ruth, a Moabite woman, illustrates that those who see God's kindness are faithful. Our lives are altered when we see that God is this kind God that He is. So for a few minutes, I want to zoom in on Ruth. And the first thing I want us to see in this chapter that's going on with Ruth is I want us to notice how the text itself wants to draw our attention to something profound that Ruth is saying, that There's a repetition going on in chapter 2. I don't know if you picked it up and noticed it, but that's part of the beauty as to why when we read our Bibles, we want to try to just go back and read it again and
go back and read it again and go back and read it again. And after the 15th time, you're like, when did that get here? Well, it was there all 14 previous readings. But the beautiful thing about God's Word is that God's Spirit sometimes just opens our eyes and shows us what's been in the text the whole time. And that's true here. Something is said from Ruth thrice. That means three times, doesn't it? And we see it in verse 2, verse 10, and verse 13. And what it is we see Ruth acknowledging something, that she knows that she is in need of something. I would suggest to you that it is good for God's people for all times, for all ages, if we are in right relationship with God and we understand how being in right relationship with God is not something that we did, but something that's been provided for us, that we too should have the same frame of mind, the same outlook, the same acknowledgement, the same confession that Ruth is displaying for us. Ruth speaks of God's favor. Or really the word favor is the word grace. Grace. Ruth is motoring through this chapter, motoring through this story, motoring through this experience, and she is well aware that what she needs more than anything else is something from God that she cannot obtain on her own. Something from God that she cannot earn by her own muscle. Something from God, in fact, that she doesn't even deserve. Look at verse two as she's about to embark. And boy, what a wonderful portrait of someone who takes initiative and is industrious, and yet her industry and her initiative is rooted and grounded in her acknowledgement and her need for grace. She says to her mother-in-law, verse 2, let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I find favor. Ruth knows that if she's to be successful on her mission, successful in accomplishing the things that are set out before her today, then she must have God's grace or favor. Do you ever think that way? You think, boy, I got a lot to do today. I got a lot to get done today. I've got a lot in front of me today. I got to get after it and get going. Yeah, you probably do need to get after it and get going. But I'm here to tell you that our getting after it and getting going must be drenched in an awareness that each day that we have is a day that we are people still in desperate need of God's favor or grace. You know, when life knocks you down, you got to get back up. But what I'm not saying is when life knocks you down, you pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. What I'm saying is that because of God's favor and kindness, when life knocks you down, He shows favor and pulls us back up and stands us back up. That's God's favor. That's God's doing for us what we can't do for ourselves. That's God doing for us what we can't earn the merit to demand. It's God doing for us what would otherwise be undeserved toward us. And then look at verse 13. This is the third time. I'm skipping over the second for a second. But then in verse 13, once Boaz has talked to her and done these things for her, then she says then in verse 13, I have found what? I have found favor in your eyes. I have found grace from you. I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord. For you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants. In this third mention of her need for God's favor or for God's grace, she's just oozing with a gratefulness, a gratitude, even as she's acknowledging that, and I really don't have any, I don't have any right to demand this. I don't belong to you. I'm not yours. And yet you're showing so much kindness to me. You're providing so much comfort to me. And then the second, which would be the third that we're going to look at, the second time that she mentions favor. So in verse 2, verse 13, but now look at verse 10. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, a foreigner?" Now then, verses 11 to 12 are really important. And in fact, they're probably so important. I'm a bit disheveled and discombobulated because I'm trying to like condense and squeeze this down in these next few moments together so that we can think clearly about this. Because basically she's saying, why would you show favor to me? Why would you give grace to me? I mean, I'm not from around here. I'm an outsider. I'm a foreigner. And he gives an answer in verse 11 and 12 that if we don't understand what's in play in 11 and 12, we're liable to collapse grace in on itself and totally misunderstand grace and even misunderstand then how we belong to God. If we just looked at the answer he gives in verse 11 and we shut our Bibles and be done with it, we will not get the true point of what he says here in 11 and 12. Look at what he says in verse 11. Because she's asking, why would you show kindness to me? And Boaz answered her, all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. And even the first part of verse 12, the Lord repay you for all that you have done, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord. Now stop there, don't read any further. If we just stop there and not read any further, we would miss that he gives an answer with two components to it. Verse 11 is the first component, verse 11 and part of verse 12. Boaz is aware of all that Ruth has done for her mother-in-law, Naomi, here, who's a kinfolk to Boaz. If we were to just stop there, though, we would quickly reach a wrong conclusion that what Boaz is doing for Ruth is not a favor, but a wage, a payback. You've been nice to Naomi, and so quid pro quo, I'll be nice to you. Oh, Ruth has done a bunch for Naomi. There's no disputing that. But it's important, especially for God's people today, it's important to understand the connection. Whereas verse 11 gives us the fruit of his answer, verse 12 gives us the root of his answer. We got to grasp that root. Why is Boaz showing favor and kindness to Ruth? Boaz gives us the right answer. Look what he says at the very end of verse 12. The God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Oh, if we had more time, we could parse that out even further. But what Boaz is saying, the real reason that I am showing favor and grace to you, the real reason that God through me is showing favor and grace to you is because you are one who relies upon the one true God. Boaz is not suggesting that he is rewarding Ruth as a payment for what she has done for Naomi. He is certainly acknowledging that he is aware of the great things, the kindness that Ruth has shown to Naomi. But Boaz more fundamentally is saying that kindness is being shown to Ruth, which is actually favor from the Lord himself. It is a kindness, it is a favor, it is a grace that is rooted in reliance upon the Lord. It's important that we see this. In other words, the deep answer is the second part of verse 12. Why would favor or grace come to any of us? Well, the promise of God's word, if it's consistent about anything, is that
favor and kindness and grace does not come because we merit it. It comes because we are relying upon the God who has merited it for us in our place. When we come to take refuge under the wings of God, under the protective care of God, then we are the beneficiaries of God's favor and grace and kindness. Now, what verse 11 does come back and do is it reminds us of what is really important to be reminded of. Any and all of us here this morning who realize that through faith in the promises of God are the recipients of God's kindness and favor and graciousness, we ought to be the people who know a thing or two about how to show kindness and favor and grace to others. Do you see what this Moabite woman is doing? Do you see what this foreigner is doing? Now that she has seen God's kindness and is relying upon God's kindness, she now moves around in her world in ways that exemplify kindness toward other people, even her mother-in-law. Ruth, the Moabite, is teaching us that when we rely upon the Lord, when we take refuge under His wings, we are now the people who are enabled and who therefore are to be eager to show favor and kindness to others. How well do you and I know the depth of God's kindness and the gracious nature of that kindness that's been shown to us in Christ Jesus? How well do we know that? Well, one barometer, one benchmark that shows that we understand something of the kindness and the favor that God shows to us is that we are kind people who show a kind of love and loyalty and devotion to others around us that doesn't just do for others around us what would merely be required of us to do to others around us, but who go above and beyond what's required of us because we are the recipients of that same kind of experience. So as we're about to leave here in a moment, we're going to sing, and then we're going to hear a final benediction from God's Word, and then we're going to get up and get out of here. And yet we're not done, because if we take anything away from our text this morning, a relevant question would be, so to whom will you show favor and kindness to this week? And yet, as sure as I say that, we could leave out of here wrongly. Our assignment this morning isn't just simply, now get on out of here and show some kindness to somebody, or I'm not going to be very kind to you. You see, the question that is even, that, and the question is that to whom will we show kindness to this week is predicated upon perhaps an even more fundamental heart issue. How aware am I? How aware are we that we are the people who have been shown the favor of God's kindness? We are the people who have taken refuge under the wings of the Lord. And therefore, we are the people who ought to know a thing or two about how to display kindness and favor to others. So, Father, thank you for your word. There's no word like your word. And thank you for this brief time in Ruth's second chapter and for how it orients us to your kindness, Father, and how through your Son, Jesus, the perfect descendant of Boaz, we see a full and final Redeemer. And Father, we thank you for the kindness and
for the undeserved and the unearned kindness that you show to us. Now, Father, as we rest in that kindness, may we be a kind people. For we pray this in Jesus' name.